Hello humans, welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. I'm Dan.
Sean.
This is episode 133, and boy, have we got some music for you. I know we begin a lot of episodes like that, but Jesus Christ, there was so much music this week.
There
was
like, there's a lot.
The music world was pumping music into our dead bodies as we were surviving coronavirus.
Damn it.
But
never mind.
God,
no.
There's a fine line.
No, I was going to cross that line. I know I was going to cross that
there's
line.
There's a fine line in talking about coronavirus coverage where it's like satire, but also real shit. I guess we should mention this as a slightly influential media duo, like very modestly influential media duo, that like if you have concerns about the coronavirus, please go to your local government's website about that. If you're in the United States, which most of our listeners are, cdc.gov is the place to go to for that. You should not be listening to this podcast if you want sound coronavirus advice, which is to isolate yourselves and stay away from people with compromised immune systems. Nevertheless, this is not exactly what this podcast is about. This podcast is about music, and we've got a bunch of singles for you, featuring Teyana Taylor and Miss Hill, The Killers, Flume and Toro y Moi, a surprise Childish Gambino Donald Glover thing, but we'll get to that in a moment. And then for albums, we have Lil Uzi Vert's Eternal Attake, or Lil Uzi Vert versus the World Part 2, depending how you look at it. Cholumbo by Jhené Aiko, and Heartbreak Weather by Niall Horan.
Come on, bud.
What a world this is where Sean is correcting me on pronunciation.
Yeah.
What a world.
He's okay. A fellow Islander. You should figure it out, bud.
What a world.
Figured it out.
Okay. also expect slightly more Letterkenny references in this podcast for the next like 10 episodes.
That's definitely very happy. Anyways, we got first single.
Yes, we have singles. We have an arbitrary scale, which we'll figure out momentarily, hopefully before we start
the music part.
Figure it out. But as far as singles goes, the first single we're going to start with is We Got Love by Teyana Taylor featuring Miss Lauryn Hill. Now, Teyana Taylor released this single as a solo thing, We Got Love, a while ago. But this is a re-release featuring Miss Lauryn Hill doing a lot of like vocals for it. And it's pretty cool because, you know, like Miss Lauryn Hill is like, she's done very little music, but she's become one of those legends, almost like Jaipal, where like she's been around in certain places and she's produced for certain people and she's done her own solo work and she's phenomenal, but she's also chosen, similarly to Frank Ocean, I guess, where like they're not going to release that much music because they're not going to deal with the music world.
Which is fine. I like that. Damon, take notes. But there's lyrics in here that I love. Middle of it goes, I got a black love in marriage, yeah. They gonna say you can't have it, but I'm like, don't kill the messenger. We're gonna break the stigma up.
Yeah.
That's a fucking bar.
The next line is Huxtables to the Obamas, which is like, never mind the Cosby aspect, but it's like literally talking about the rags to riches story in the tone of like the African-American black experience. Mm-hmm. So it's a really cool like way to switch around the verses and the lyrics and stuff. Yeah. Of course you would assume the wonderful Miss Lauryn Hill would do this kind of thing.
I love that shit. Really, and then there's another word. Love is the new money. That's a bar too.
That's a hell of a bar.
I love that. Play catch with the honey. Love is the new money. I'm just chilling with the homies. Homies where the heart is. Play catch with the honey. Love is the new money. I'm just chilling with the homies. Homies where the heart is.
Above all, you keep your clarity, you keep your focus, you keep your sense of love, and you keep your sense of purpose. Those are
That's like a theme throughout the entire song too. It's a really good single. I like
it. Yeah. It's a really good kind of, no, it's a properly good single and release. Mm-hmm. From two of some of the R&B, you know how much we hate this term, but the R&B greats currently right now. So definitely check it out. We Got Love by Teyana Taylor featuring Miss Lauryn Hill. Really good song. Next, we have Caution by The Killers. It's another in a series of random rock releases from rock bands that have been, like, questionably visible over the past couple years, but they still come in pretty hot with some of those.
Well, The Killers, Sean, what do you think? Yeah. Well, The Killers headlined Glastonbury last year, and they killed it. Like, that was they did a very good performance. They had some special guests and shit, too, and it was very good. Because we had problems with their last album that came out in 2018, I believe. And this song is okay. It's not their best, but it's not their worst. There was elements that sounded like old Killers mixing with the new, so there's still some things they need to figure out of their newer sound, more modern sound, because I don't want them just to keep doing the whole pop thing that they've been trying to do.
Pop rock.
Like pop rock thing, because they're not good at it. They're good at their more alternative stuff, which they've done before, and they've mixed in even into later albums. But it's okay single. It's 3.6 rocking, you know, my favorite term. Not great, not terrible. The beginning, I had a lot of hopes for. And I remember about like a minute in or so, I was like, questionable. Doesn't like birthdays, they remind her of why. She can go straight from zero to the 4th of July. I'm throwing caution. What's it gonna be? Tonight the winds of change are coming on. But it gives me a little bit of hope going forward with them that they are starting to experiment a little bit of mixing different stuff within their own sound. Because they've been around for forever. They've been a band for 20 years now at this point, I think. Or just about 20 years, which is crazy to think of. But, check it out, especially if you're a fan of The Killers.
When I said, like, random rock releases, I was thinking of, like, Silver Sun Pickups released a thing last year, and there have been a couple of other rock bands.
You know, like Incubus released a single earlier this year, too. That was a fantastic single.
Yes, and what we're seeing is probably in direct response to the Audio Face Rock is Dead combo, which we know was blasted into the ears of every single musician worldwide. People are realizing that there's now a really good opportunity to take rock music to the next level. And so a lot of the heavy hitters in rock music are starting to do that. And, like, this is a single. There might be an album coming. We will see how that goes in the future. Next, thank you, Sean, for indulging me in this, but this is the La Cabana EP by Sheba-san. There were two songs that were released by Sheba-san.
I actually liked it.
Yeah. There are two songs that were released by Sheba-san, the, like, house music wunderkind. People know him from his song Okay, which I think was, like, the best, most popular song. And, like,
by far.
I've seen that song live. It's a fucking bop live. Like, it was one of my favorite experiences at a concert ever, hearing that drop live. But with La Cabana and Brace Yourself, the two songs on this EP, it's really kind of bringing back that house influence. It doesn't feel too much like Okay, but it feels absolutely like house.
Yeah, it does, because like Brace Yourself goes hard, except when he messes with the little lyrics or brace, it almost sounds like saying racist instead of brace yourself. But I was like, is he saying racist? Like, what's he trying to do? And he goes, brace yourself for debate.
Everyone's a little triggered in this moment. Yeah.
Right. No, I found that shit hilarious. But I actually liked, especially Brace Yourself. I liked because the drops and everything weren't the stupid, crazy EDM drops. It felt more like techno drops to me.
Yeah.
Which is what I prefer in it.
So. And I'm glad that there is an artist who is like saying there is a place to do the cool techno drops and not like the pretentious EDM techno drops.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful.
Like the Dylan Francis kitties are flying, exploding everywhere drops.
Jesus Christ. The Dylan Francis, my shows are probably canceled because of coronavirus drops, which we will get to in a moment. But we've still got new singles. And next we have The Difference featuring an unlikely but also pretty wonderful duo.
It was really strange.
The Difference is a single by Flume featuring Toro y Moi.
Which is really random.
It's really random, but it like goes like butter and toast together.
It's good. Because Toro y Moi's voice went perfectly with the song that Flume made. Like perfectly. Yes. I did not expect it at all, but because of like especially Toro y Moi's past background when he did chill wave, which is you know, my favorite little subgenre. Visco chill wave, whatever yeah. he likes to call it. With the amount of experimentation that Toro y Moi's done in his music, it actually makes sense that he can partner up with somebody like Flume and make something that is coherent but is very different in a genre that he hasn't touched much. And it's very good.
Yeah.
I like it.
Both Flume and Toro y Moi have done like a decent job of collaborating with different artists who aren't usually in their wheelhouse. I believe there was a single released recently that was like either from Flume or Toro y Moi that was like, wow, I don't expect these two pairing to be together. That's not coming to my head right now. But even without that imaginary single that I have in my head, both Flume and Toro y Moi are like experimental enough artists on their own to where you can imagine this kind of thing coming together pretty well. And you don't have to imagine because it exists and it comes together pretty well. And lastly, Childish Gambino, aka Donald Glover, released a special album kind of thing. It was a surprise 12-track project currently being called Donald Glover Presents. It's interesting. The only way you can access it is by going to Donald Glover's website, which I believe is DonaldGloverPresents.com.
Yeah.
And it's like, I remember talking to Sean about this Sunday morning, the morning before we record the podcast, and I was saying that it sounds kind of like the way that Atoms for Peace, the Thom Yorke and Et Cetera solo project was released, mm-hmm. where the first way you could hear it was on the website with some light visuals just mm-hmm. playing in a loop. So yeah, it's very hard to like, you know, pick a song you like on Spotify.
Yeah, you can't, yeah, because it's not released, but it's, I like kind of releases like these. It can be a little bit frustrating because you try to isolate something and it's a pain in the ass to do it. But I think it's always cool when you do a little bit different of a release like this. So I've seen it before, but it's been a while when I've seen something like this.
Yeah.
We'll give an actual review whenever it gets really released. I know Dan listened to it a little bit. He likes it so far.
I listened to it and it's incredible.
I listened to it a little bit and I like it, whatever I've listened to, but again, I don't know what track, whatever it is, so we'll find out later more. I just want to give you a little update.
Yeah, I would guesstimate it's about like 52 minutes long if you went and listened to it to yourself. It's probably uncomfortable to listen to on a phone. I'd recommend listening to it on a computer while you're doing some work. There's one song that I haven't heard in there before, and there might be some other like deeper Gambino fans who know some other ones. But Feels Like Summer, which was a release that came out this year or the year before, was like smack dab in the middle. And it fit really well with the vibe. again, I will save more of my opinions for this once we review it. But to add a little bit to the hype, I compared it to as experimental as Thom Yorke's The Eraser, while sounding instrumentally kind of like pre-2011's Kanye West. While also having some like really unique like Sia vibes, mm-hmm. some other like really good R&B artists who are really popping in there. It's a phenomenal record based on my first listen, and we'll review it more when it's actually an album that we can listen to like all the other ones.
Yes.
But yeah, that's Audio Face. That's our singles. Let me get really fast to like what we have in the future because we had a lot of music that was released over the past 2 weeks. Just to go over some of the few, there was Surfaces, there was Fantagram, Joywave, J Electronica, Rich the Kid, Peter Bjorn, and John.
Peter Bjorn, fuck, I forgot about the hate release.
we can only, as like a two-person duo...
This is the most I could physically do in a weekend, by the way. Like, this is my max, like my ears need...
If you want us to quality review albums,
we tried
three max.
We tried four before, and I was like, I remember, like, I can't remember half the shit I listened to.
Yeah, but you know, that's why we have future episodes where now we have more than a week to listen to them, so maybe we can do four in an episode, or we can do our music recommendations episode,
which is what I would
like, tell you know what was the good stuff out of it. That's not to say any of the albums we missed. Obviously Megan Thee Stallion released one. That's not to say anything we missed was like less good than whatever came out. It's just like whatever we get to and whatever we feel like works well in a production of an episode. So know that we know these came out and know that they're gonna come and we're gonna review them, but like it'll take a little while, which is all the more reason for you to subscribe to Audio Face wherever you get your podcast so you can like listen to that. Also check out the Political Report / might be renamed to any other far more offensive name soon, where Sean joined Caesar and Bam from the We Made It podcast and I to talk about politics, talk about American politics and the political world in a way that is way more lit than literally any podcast you'll ever listen to. I can say that with confidence. So go ahead and check that out. Before we begin the news, later this month, we're going to have an album from Little Dragon. We're also going to have, I believe there's one more really big album coming out in March, but we'll leave it to the rest of March to come to that. Of course, we'll bring it to you, of course, everything else. And next month, we have to look forward to Thundercat, Lady Gaga, and the 1975. Just so far.
Allegedly. So, I'm not holding my breath anymore.
Allegedly.
Because Maddie likes to change his goddamn mind, so.
Sean's been heartbroken a little bit too much. We'll hold on that. Anyways, make sure you're subscribed to Audio Face on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Stitcher or Pocket Cast or wherever you listen to podcasts. So that you get all the episodes, even the bonus ones we may not announce beforehand. So with all of that ado have been done, let's go into the big ass story of the week, which is coronavirus. It exists.
Everyone's heard about it. We don't need to chuck your throat down, but it affected the music world.
Chuck your throat down. I'm going to use that in my next hookup. But okay.
Do it. see what happens, and we report, you decide. So anyways, the biggest thing with music is that a shit ton of live events were canceled. A lot of artists across the globe canceled their events. Festivals postponed. The first one that I heard was Coachella and Stage Coast postponed until October. They were the first one that like just kicked it off. And then
Coachella and Stage Coach are like usually partnered together, and they're going to be postponed until October. If you have tickets for Coachella... Yeah. Then hold your tickets. You will just need to reschedule other arrangements until mid to late October when they reschedule it.
South by Southwest is canceled all
for the first time.
First time ever. It's because Austin declared a state of disaster. Ultra Music Festival, they postponed until next year. Boise's Tree Fort Music Festival postponed until September. Knoxville's Big Ear Festival is canceled.
J. Cole's Dreamville
was pushed back to August. Pharrell Williams, Something in the Water Festival has been canceled, even though he had one. Lollapalooza has pushed back its South American festivals in Chile, Argentina, and Brazil till later in the year. And Tomorrowland Winter, Days of Summer, Country to Country Festival, they've all either been postponed or canceled. There's just, it's going to take me eight years to
also,
do it, but like...
Let's go to really fast. I'll just jump through tours and concerts. So Live Nation, the brand that promotes all these things, has halted all of the promoted tours they cover.
Which is
while Broadway is in, like, you know, the Broadway, the New York one, has shuttered all of its doors till April 12th. So, again, if you have tickets for these things, go and check with your providers. If you have repurchased tickets off of, like, StubHub or the Black Market, that's very funny. you should check on that later.
Yeah.
But also, individual bands have... Okay, so... The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's 2020 induction ceremony, even though we're the music podcast that cares the least about this, has also been postponed. Not sure of a date. But there have been a large number of bands who have just like said, we're canceling dates or we're rescheduling dates. So like anything, basically the main gist is that anything in March to like May that was planned is kind of up in the air. Anything June and afterwards is pretty much already like going as planned. We're just
going
to reevaluate and see what happens. But in the meantime, there's a lot of effects that's going on.
Yeah, some of our favorite people, Billie Eilish, Disclosure, Thom Yorke, they all canceled their stuff. And
Rage Against the Machine.
New Order, yeah.
Green Day, Bob Dylan, Slipknot, Pearl Jam, yeah. Madonna, Bikini Kill, Sergio Simpson, They Might Be Giants, Kiss, Santana, The Who, Cher, Celine Dion, Iggy Pop, Third Eye Blind. You kind of get the idea that like if anyone is doing a show, they're probably like following the rest of the crowd in Kansas.
And then the funny one is Justin Bieber, but we all, this is something that we were looking at before, where he said maybe it wasn't just before coronavirus. Maybe it's because your music just fucking sucks, bud.
No, so Justin Bieber downgraded his concert tours.
Yes.
From stadiums to arenas. Arenas, yes, are smaller than stadiums. Correct. Which is a fact I learned this week. Yeah. But the decision was reportedly due to lackluster ticket sales. The PR people, which is like they're supposed to put out the most flattering image possible for their artists, say that the lackluster ticket sales are stemming from concerns from coronavirus. Although, before people actually canceled, like before major artists and major festivals were starting to cancel shows because of coronavirus, Justin Bieber's stadium tour was downgraded. And I had this in the rundown before a lot of the major festivals were canceled. So it's looking like Justin Bieber might not be that popular.
Cardi B, she delayed music due to coronavirus, and she said that she also wants to move to Antarctica to avoid the pandemic.
Cool. I mean, like, Antarctica's heating up. I mean, like, Antarctica's probably a great summer reservation spot right now because it's now about the same weather as California. I remember a couple weeks ago, I was working with good friend of the show, John Idarola, and he was Ripperoni. He was, we compared the temperatures between Antarctica and Death Valley, and Antarctica was hotter. Death Valley, California, which is aptly named a fucking desert where it gets hot as shit all the time. So that's all happening. And also, more of like a music nerd thing that I do want to mention, Record Store Day has been postponed until June 20th. It usually happens around April 20th. April 18th is what it would have been this year. But there are going to be a bunch of... Record Store Day happens every single year to kind of promote the fact that record labels sell vinyls and they exist. And other than Spotify and Apple Music are kind of like the core of music discovery.
I've gone to a bunch of Record Store Days.
I love Record Store Days. I love record stores. I listen to them. We encourage you as people in Audioface to visit your local record store and support them as best you can. But they've decided to cancel and move to June 20th. There are a lot of good releases that were coming in Record Store. The Cure, Robin, Kraftwerk, Paul McCartney, David Bowie, Miles Davis, Britney Spears, Fleetwood Mac, Charles Mingus, My Chemical Romance, and many others were going to do releases for Record Store Day.
Yeah, especially, this is a lot of bands. See, like Sigur Rós did one last year for Record Store Day because it was the 20th anniversary of their first album. And they always, a lot of bands do stuff, a lot of artists do stuff for Record Store Day, have a little special releases, so.
Yeah, what I was personally very excited for when it came to Record Store Day was the fact that Gorillaz G-Sides and D-Sides were going to get their first ever vinyl releases.
Oh, that's cool.
These are, so with Gorillaz Song Machine, people were like, oh wow, this is a really interesting take into like how music gets created with Gorillaz. But I think before the precursor to Song Machine was G-Sides and D-Sides.
Yeah, it was just any B-Sides of any artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, B-Sides generally when artists are like, hey, this song we made for the album, but we decided not to put on the album. Yeah. For the artists that decide to actually structure albums properly, we'll get to that later.
Like Radiohead.
Very shortly.
Yeah, Radiohead does that too. Some of their B-Sides are better than their releases.
But at least criticism is that not all B-Sides are very accessible to fans. A lot of times you have to be like a major fan and like dig through some like YouTube
certain
archive
stuff,
to find them. Gorillaz, at least they used to put all of their B-Sides on albums that came out after the main albums came out. So after the eponymous Gorillaz album, the first one that came out, there's G-Sides, which was all the bonus songs. The famous remix of 19-2000, the Soul Child remix, came off of G-Sides and it was really popular. D-Sides also came out as like a B-Sides version of Demon Days. The popular Gorillaz song Rocket came off of that, and also a bunch of other ones that Hong Kongeten that end up being like really bigger in the Gorillaz story came from that album. So it sucks that Record Store Day is being kind of put off. But like the coronavirus, it's real shit. Like, don't gather in public places. There are people who are going out to bars the weekend that we're recording this.
Well,
like,
don't go out to bars. That's stupid.
Don't go out to bars. Day drink at home. It's much cheaper. And you can obviously protect yourselves. Because not only, this is not music world, but like a lot of the...
Here goes Dan going on a tangent again.
Really quickly, I promise. The charts showing the people infected with coronavirus are actually showing that people ages like 20 to 40 are actually infected. They're just not showing any symptoms. So it's really important that people ages 20 to 40 who are also very likely to listen to this podcast do not, like, go out and, for the sake of people who are younger or older around them who may interact with them, just chill. Look, like, I saw a tweet that said, like, in World War II, people had to die in trenches. Here, we get to die with the comfort of, like, air conditioning and Netflix. So, like, just chill in your houses. You're also not going to die. It's going to be fine. Just, like, relax. Take a chill pill. Play some Xbox. Play some Nintendo Switch. I literally got one right here with a super hot loaded up, ready to go. And enjoy your time. Take a chill. That's the most actual advice we could give. Otherwise, go to cdc.gov if you're in America.
Well, if you're like me, you got to go to work.
Yeah, or if you're in your other country, go to your country's, like, website for those things. And if you have to go to work, Donald Trump said today is a national day of prayer, so make sure you pray before you go to work. That'll definitely help. But also make sure to wash your hands, hand sanitize. A lot of solidarity with you if you're a worker who has to be out in here. And it's another reason why we should have a differently organized economy, let's say. But for more information about that, check out the Political Report. So with that, yes, we can now turn away from coronavirus stuff and into our first album review, Eternal A Take by Lil Uzi Vert, which is a lot to unpack for numerous reasons, even different to, like, normal audio phase reasons. But essentially, Eternal A Take got released in two parts. One part last week while we were on, mm-hmm, like, official audio phase break, and one part this week, which was the deluxe version.
Love versus the World 2.
It was also titled Lil Uzi Vert versus the World 2. So, like, yeah, it was, like, a kind of sequel to the previous Lil Uzi Vert versus the World album that kind of got him on the map. But the important thing to know about the difference between the two is that Eternal, like, so if you went on Spotify, mm-hmm, or Apple Music or whatever and went to the Eternal A Take deluxe version, disc one is the deluxe version. Disc two is the original version. The deluxe version is 30...
So unnecessary.
The deluxe version is 32 songs long and an hour and 45 minutes long.
So unnecessary.
And it's everything we hate about double albums. But the regular version is 18 songs long and an hour and 2 minutes long.
And everything I hate about trap.
It's still a little bit long, but, like, I think it's slightly more manageable.
Yeah.
But we could go into it. So, like, this is Lil Uzi Vert's proper album. And I will start because I think it's
interested to hear with the amount of features because I have some takes.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting because we already kind of get a little bit of glimpses into what you think about it, but I'll start with me. I think currently this year, as I'm speaking, in mid-March 2020, mm, this is the trap album to beat. This is so far the best album that's come out this year. It's rough, but, like, I challenge you to name me another trap album.
Just stop making trap. Just, like, or the different.
So the difference is just to lay it on the table.
So you listen to both.
I listen to, I mean, sure, but essentially I listen to version two.
Okay, you didn't listen to just Eternal Take the disc two.
Last week I listened to disc two by itself, and I was okay, like, this is the trap album to beat. I didn't listen to the I listened to the additional versions.
This is why we hate double albums.
There's a number of reasons why we hate double albums. But
review.
I need, like, 2 minutes in order to then get you in. So the first part of the deluxe version, which I know is super confusing, but the first part basically includes, other than a couple of standard no frills Lil Uzi Vert songs, includes all the features that I'm glad didn't bog down the standard version of the album. Because I actually think Lil Uzi Vert shines pretty well on his own as a lyricist, and even in some of the production here and there, on his own in the standard version of the album, with the very couple here and there features that are sprinkled out. In the deluxe version, it's just the features that, like, the trap heads will love. You have Future, you have Chief Keef, you have Young Thug and Gunna, you have Lil Durk, Young Nutty, Young Thug again on another song. You have 21 Savage, which I think is, like, one of the peak songs on the album, Yes Sirski, which is just, like, again, like, 21 Savage carries it really well by being, like, himself. Yes Sirski, doing donuts in a six, Yes Sirski, you got engaged but she still wanna slurski, she double tap my picture, she so flirty, Draco with the drum and it's dirty, Pineapple Crush, it's so dirty. Come and get your bitch, she so thirsty. I'm finna pass her to the gang, Yes Sirski.
Glenwood Road, I'm popping. Yeah. Nigga for the ops, I'm popping. Yeah. Caught them nigga fly, they dropping. Drop it in the bowl, it's locking. Spread up by the seats, I'm kiting.
Tony Arcata, I'm Taliban.
Yeah, there's a lot of bars in there that like I don't even have the mental capacity currently right now to really dissect, but I think it's a really good song. We are 21 Savage heads here on the podcast, but
that
it's really
we are.
Good. But I will say as my overall take before Chong gets into it is that the first part are just like all the features that Lil Uzi Vert did a great job in not including in the regular version, because I would say the regular version was already a few songs too long, and that only adding these features would have probably helped the album do better in like charts because you have these features on it, but it wouldn't have made the album a good product. And as far as the album itself, starting with Baby Pluto, I mean, this is sort of taking a trap futurism kind of role, which a couple of other artists have taken. I think Takeoff has done this in a couple of his albums. I think that Space Cadet like album that he did as a solo one, I forget as it comes to mind, but Takeoff's The Lost Rocket, that's the one. It's very like future trap, not future the artist, but futuristic as in like it's using a lot of electronic sounds. It's building on top of standard trap and building like video game bloopy noises from like arcade games from the 80s and adding those in. It gives the album its own unique sound for sure. But as you go into it, you start to wonder like how many songs on this album needed to be there to express that kind of vibe. So with the proper version, like starting with Baby Pluto, it definitely is a good way of getting you in. I think Silly Watch is like the line. I think that song is the line between like too trap heavy and kind of ridiculous versus actually walking this like sound that it's trying to do of like making you feel like they made trap music based off of arcade noises from the 1980s and 1990s. You Better Move is the song that like has literally like, it seems like a ship in one of those games is like you press the button and it shoots at an asteroid and the asteroid explodes. Like, that's the sound that backs it up the whole time. It's like, you better move.
You better move. You better move. Louis, my shoes. Pull out my whip on 22s. I saw your girl. I had the scoop. Just like a bird, she gonna swoop. Neck is hot too. Might catch the flu. Banana clip straight from the zoo. I live my life like a cartoon. Reality is not my mood. I don't know why that girl so rude. Oh, that's cause her jeans, they from Ruth. You better have you a real good excuse. He wants to smoke, but I don't got a jewel. I'm like, Mother Goose, if I say shoot, they gonna shoot. Yu-Gi-Oh, Yu-Gi-Oh, you wanna do?
And it's really interesting in that way, but I've already gone over my, like, way over my 2 minutes in trying to explain this, so Sean, jump in.
It's, the production is so cheap for Lil Uzi Vert, it's hilarious. So I
don't think he deserves better.
He can do better, because there's a song I really liked on Love is Rage 2, Exo Tour Life, which I hate that I like that song, but I really like that song. The production of that, everything was fantastic, and I go, okay, this guy may actually be able to make good trap. With Eternal Take, with Baby Pluto, the lyrics are just, you know, the usual, I slept with her, her pussy so fire, this is all that stupid shit. I'm like, this is disgusting, okay. But the production of all of the normal trap sounds, it felt very, very cheap. As in, somebody got like, just got a laptop, but bumped it up, and didn't just like copy and pasted over, especially in the middle of the album, copy and pasted the same beat over and over and over again. But if you're listening to it with headphones, it didn't, like, the actual physical sounds felt cheap with the trap snare. It felt like a discarded version or something, that like a cheap Chinese snare or something. You know, you go to Big Lots and you found a trap snare in Big Lots. That's what you got.
There was a person who who works in like sound engineering who was describing a separate product that he hated the sound of, and he said, this sounds like a Fisher-Price speaker.
Yeah, that's
it. Like one of those toy speakers.
That's literally what it felt like. Somebody put a Fisher-Price little keyboard into a laptop, plugged it in, and made an album out of it. There was only one good song that was actually very good, and it was the one song that had a feature on it. It was Urgency featuring Sid.
Really?
That song? Fan-fucking-tastic. Very, very good. I loved with that song. It had a little, it started out like a Fresh from Daft Punk, if you know that song. It has waves crashing, and I love that. And it came on. That production felt expensive. It felt like there was a bunch of people who were working on it, knew what they were doing. I'm like, oh my god.
up a sad song, yeah.
Exes, I think they were bad luck, yeah. I promise you won't be the last one, yeah. Vacation just so you can have fun, yeah. God, I'm wishing they were you ain't that something, something. I'm outside in a black truck, jumping. So much better than the last one. That's what I'm at home.
It took you 13 fucking songs to do this. Good job, Lil Uzi Vert. It took you 2 years to make, or 3 years to make another album and 13 songs, and you finally figured it out. Good job.
Yeah.
That sounds good, though. I really like it. I love Sid's part. It complements Lil Uzi Vert's voice, the lyrics, all of that's a very, very good song. The rest of the album, not good. Because just it felt rushed. It felt like I've heard this before with SoundCloud rappers. Like, it doesn't feel like somebody who's a big artist who's been making music for a while made this album.
Do you, so it's funny because I know the song you liked the most of Lil Uzi Vert's was XOXO Tour Life or whatever, but the song P2 at the very end, technically, was meant to be, like, P2 stands for part two.
Part two, yes.
It's actually part two of that song.
Of that song, yeah.
The idea.
I don't really care cause I'm done. I don't really, love's not fun. There's no emotion on my face cause I'm not. You see me everywhere you look, no, you can't hide or run. Yeah, everything I said.
Did you like that?
I did like it. I was about to get to it. Like that song, I liked it, not as much as Urgency. I really liked Urgency a lot. But those are the only songs that didn't feel cheap. That's it.
No, so I the production might be something for people to get ahead of or like get accustomed to. Maybe if they're coming from your perspective, they may have to like it or try to be open-minded enough to it.
The problem was with this album is like there's a chunk of 5 or 6 songs in the middle that literally use the same exact beat. Like I listened to it, went back to it, listened to it, I'm like, nope, this is the same. Like the same exact, wait, trap snare, bass, but it felt exactly the same with it. So that was the whole thing that when I was doing it, I go, okay, no, there's no reason to have that big of a chunk when I know he can do better songs. Like there's for sure he's done better work. You see it in like Urgency, that's a good song. You can see it
right
in it, but you know, whatever.
So like,
that's the problem with a lot of trap to me is sometimes it could feel rushed. Like this felt rushed within the whole production, and then the whole double album thing is a mess. Not good for fans, not good for music listeners who are trying to figure out what the fuck to listen to. I'm going way too long on this album because we have way more music to listen to.
No, it's totally fine.
But that's my whole problem with trap, and that's why I've been trying not to listen to it because anytime I go back to it, I go, it disappoints me. There's only very few artists that do trap well. Like the song with 21 that I listened to on the double album, there was parts of it I didn't like, but then there's bars and stuff in that are hilarious that I do like. So...
yeah. Right. I definitely think if you're
a trap head, you'll probably like this.
Yeah, if you're a bit more trap skeptic, you will definitely like maybe have some concerns with the beats and the way that goes. But I was willing to take that in as like, okay, they're experimenting with a sound. And I will at least say this, and I don't know if you'll agree or not, but the album stuck true to its sound.
Oh, like, for like sure. It was cool. It was very cohesive.
Whether you like it or not, it's cohesive, which is something we look for.
No, that's I'll give it credit for that. It is very cohesive. It tells a story in that regard. But then the cohesiveness is, if you make it a cohesive, you got to make it the sound that works.
Yeah, you also have to like, it's not just making it cohesive, you also have to like build production.
You have to make
it
good fucking
like,
sounds.
Yeah, which is fair. I like the style. I also think it helps Lil Uzi Vert's like lyrics shine. There are some specific bars in like Celebration Station and Chrome Heart Tags that go really well. But I think the best, and I'm gonna like mention this as my last point, the best nexus between like Lil Uzi Vert's like good rapping skills, which have improved significantly, or at least improved in a good order between his last album and this album. Those rap skills have improved, but also the fact that they're trying to make it more video game soundy to a song that had come out a couple of months ago but ended up being a bonus track on here, Futsal Shuffle.
Gotta shoot two at him. I gotta shoot two at him. I
stay with this blue cheddar. That girl she got on my clone. I told that little girl that she got it, she's too better. Yeah. Are you serious? I swear my money is serious. Okay, all my checks, I just be clearing it. She sell my dick, then she get delirious. Okay, jump on the jet so I'm clearing it. Okay, pop, but I'm not talking new. Okay, smoke that boy just like a cigarette. If that boy try to make a fuss move.
Loot Lucifer, doot doot loot doot,
doot doot.
Thank you. Little Lucifer leaves.
You're supposed to be staying still right now. Ready, set, go.
It's like the mix of like kind of what we talked about, what we were looking for in audio face and the state of music conversation that mm-hmm. we released last week, which is like make rap more ravey and make it more like electronic.
Yeah. Like what Vince Staples did that 3 years ago.
Yes.
So like it's
Pioneer in that case. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's saying this is the problem with it. There's showings that it is possible, but people are either too lazy or too ignorant in their own bubble to really get out and venture off of it. So, but you know, it's whatever.
No, yeah. And also there's the bonus track That Way, which does sample the I Want It That Way, like yes. 2000s song, Backstreet Boys song. It sounds a little bit different. I was just like, wow, Lil Uzi Vert actually has the audacity to do this. Yeah. Okay. But overall, I will still say this is the trap album to beat. If you don't like trap, you're not going to love this album, probably not, based on Sean's recommendation mm-hmm. of it. But I think if you do like trap, you are going to find 2020's trap album to beat currently in March right now. I think you can definitely do better than this. There's always been a space to do much better than this. And if I'm being a more kind of Sean-centric music reviewer, this still feels like it could have been a trap album in 2019. I'm not seeing like the
2018
push it,
even. Yeah.
Possibly, but I'm not seeing the push it forwardedness of this quite yet. Although I do like one thing I said about trap a while ago was that it seems like it's pushing a little bit forward, but it experiments in the same sort of
way. We got spoiled so much, but I Am Greater Than I Was. Like, that album is so stupidly good that any other trap album I listen to and doesn't have that style of production, it just feels...
Range of production. Because it doesn't have, maybe I Am Greater Than I Was a little bit less cohesive in sound than I would say this album is, but the sounds that were in there had their own range, had their own depth, so that... It worked on the album together enough, but each song had its own, like, hey, there were songs that sampled, like, Santana.
Went
in these different directions. They had their own sort of, like, range within the album. So that was something mm-hmm. that was really good that we liked. Right. But, yeah, overall.
Arbitrary Scale is canceled sports events because every sporting event in the world has been canceled. I'm going through withdrawals. So this is the NBA season being canceled. Because this is the first thing where it's like two Utah Jazz players got the coronavirus and it's like everybody panics.
One Utah Jazz player decides to basically wipe his dick on all of the equipment.
Dude, that shit is hilarious. I fucking died of laughing watching my... This guy's a goon for this. This is hilarious.
Dead-ass-y. The NBA is a really good one. I'm going to pivot slightly. I'm going to give this the NCAA March Madness.
NCAA March Madness
is canceled. So. Solid. What we're going to have to do is invite...
we're going to have to watch 2011 Eastern Conference Finals.
We might have to Twitch stream us playing NCAA 2K14.
Please not. Please not. I will not play an NBA game. I suck at that shit. Anyway...
It's like FIFA. Just press the buttons a lot and it'll be fine.
Right. Except I do fouls every 2 seconds.
Overall, check out the album or don't check out the album, but like it's trap in 2020. So if you're a music fan, like check out the album just to see what it sounds like. Let's move on. Post Malone is okay. He would like to announce that he is all right and doing fine and does not need to be checked on, which is usually like a dramatic thing, but...
He says, I'm not on drugs. I'm the best I've ever fucking felt in my life. I think this dude is just going to turn into a walking tattoo at some point. Every time I see him, he has like a new face tattoo, so at some point he's just going to be a big green blob.
Post Malone said at a crowd in Memphis, because there have been some people who have been this was a crowd before the coronavirus outbreak, but there have been people who have been asking like, hey, Post Malone, are you all right, dude? I truthfully don't know what's the difference between not all right Post Malone and normal ass Post Malone, but we'll move past that. He says, I'm not on drugs. I feel the best I've ever fucking felt in my life, and that's why I can bust my ass for these shows and fucking fall on the floor and do all that fun shit. But for anyone that's concerned here, I appreciate the love and support, but I feel fantastic. I'm not doing drugs. It's a fair concern because, like, a lot of artists of his contemporary ilk have overdosed on drugs, and it's been kind of bad. And I won't say Post Malone looks like he's doing drugs, but he doesn't look like he's not. And he said that he avoids using drugs as a coping mechanism, saying that he quit marijuana after a pot-induced anxiety attack and now consumes nothing stronger than alcohol, which is...
Maybe a good idea.
We can weigh our problems here and there, but at least, like, alcohol is a... There's a much more of an infrastructure for dealing with alcohol addiction than, like, flying on a plane to Chicago O'Hare, which is currently very crowded, and having
damn it.
Yeah, that incident.
Yeah, that incident. Grimes might be... This might be one of the most unhealthy things I've ever read in my life, and I'm actually turning sick from eating
this. This is coming from a personal trainer and, semi-nutritionist here.
Fuck. But
Grimes talked about her horrifying diet, including... her recipe for butter toast, which is includes, you know, most people like, you know, make yourself some toast. Yeah, a little sliver of butter. You put that little thing on there. You don't put the whole fucking stick of butter.
She does. She melts an entire stick of butter on a plate, puts toast in it until the toast is completely saturated in butter, and she puts a bit of jam on it and eats it. That made me gag.
I have heart disease just reading that.
Yeah, apparently she like. Her bat was so bad at one point in her life that her hair started falling out. I'm like, what the fuck? At that point, it's Darwinism. Like, if you're not eating well enough that your hair is not sticking to your head, you need to go figure
out
your
life. Sean, if possible, I'd like you to read the quote that's highlighted on my
monitor. Oh, yeah. No, I was going to get to that. Now that she's pregnant, she's actually introduced fruit into her diet. Although she, as she says, I hate fruit, but not as much as vegetables. It's vile, like broccoli. What the fuck? It's actually disgusting. I don't know how anybody eats it. I don't know how Elon Musk eats you, but you know, somehow apparently they put a baby in you and that's rough, but
maybe
you know,
he pulls the DJ Khaled and he just doesn't.
Dead ass.
Maybe
straight up.
I mean, I'm really walking the line on what I should say on this podcast, but maybe Grimes tastes like...
No, we're not going there, Dan. This is a feminist, we are a women-friendly podcast, Dan.
We are feminists.
Everybody's favorite rainbow-haired rapper, Tekashi 6ix9ine, he gets an early prison release date. He will be a free man come August 2nd, 22nd. That's also the day of his death.
2020, yeah.
2020. That's also, you heard it here first, the day of his death. August 2nd, 2020.
I give him till August 3rd.
You give him to 3rd?
I'll say, to be humble, August is usually not a great month for me personally. August is also not going to be a great month for Tekashi.
No. He's already hit on him.
There's going to be a number of things that happen to Tekashi 6ix9ine. Yeah. I'm not going to, again, I'm walking a legal tightrope right here in saying I'm not asking or requesting or encouraging for bad things to happen to Tekashi 6ix9ine.
But
it's incredibly
happen.
Likely because he's the biggest snitch of the past decade.
Told you so.
Yeah.
All right, so
let's get into music.
Let's go to Musica. Chilombo, which is an album by Janae.
Janae Aiko.
Aiko, right? Cool.
Yeah.
20 right. songs, an hour and 3 minutes long.
Firmly in the R&B kind of.
Firmly in the R&B, yes. Fucking great. Very, very good.
You like it? I was lukewarm on it.
I like it. It took me a little bit to get into it. It starts very, like, slow. Lotus intro and Triggered the Freestyle. Those two tracks started slow, but there's a lot of good songs in this. BS featuring her is definitely my favorite on the track. Also has a bar of flex on my exes and model X.
In my model X, pretty little skinny little bitty body model X. Some of y'all ain't never had no real bitch and it shows. I keep it 100 from my head down to my toes. Back up on my bullshit, back up on the move. Touchdown in my hometown, got nothing to lose. I am on my own now, I am in control now. I need you to go now. I can fix my own crown. Back up on my bullshit. Back up on the scene.
She's hilarious. But the main thing with the whole album is it's like that trap and B almost style, but it's. But with her voice and the lyrics on it, it's telling a love story of somebody who was in a relationship and is. Like broke up with their significant other and said all of these things like you did all these wonderful things, whatever, sexually, romantically, whatever it is, but I ain't having you back because it's either something, whatever that person did, whatever it is. But it really tells a story of somebody who's heartbroken over the loss of a relationship. And it goes very deep. All the songs go deep, especially in that first half of the album. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Even the song Happiness Over Everything or Ho. Featuring Future and Miguel, I actually liked it.
That just lets me know that she knows what she wants, yeah. Baby, I won't judge, no, 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 no.
look at you. Yeah. I can never have a hater ball inside my body. Nope. I just like it better when my girl do her Pilates. I wanna dress you up and have you fresher than the stylist. Think about it.
Even though I think Future is very overrated because he does a stupid fucking auto-tune thing that he's been doing for 10 years and he hasn't changed.
You love Feminist Future?
I love Feminist Future. And this track, though, with him, I actually like.
Miguel does a good job in there.
Yeah, exactly. All three of them complement each other somehow. Even with Future's shitty going back and forth with autotune, it still worked in the song for once in my life. 10K Hours featuring Nas, that's a fantastic song.
Get your paper, Nas.
Really, really like that.
Get that paper, Nas.
Right? It's just a little piano ballad with them. It felt like old Nas, like the Lost Tapes Nas style. With excuse me, with Jhené Aiko on it, it was very, very good. I really like that track. The whole lyrics are like, I'll miss you, whatever it is, for 10,000 hours. Do this and that for 10,000 hours. Very powerful. And normally with songs that feature a rapper or whatnot, like halfway through goes to the rapper part, everybody skips over it. With the Nas part, I go, oh no, this shit's good.
Yeah, because a lot of times rapper parts with R&B parts kind of like slap together songs. Also in alternative, this happens.
Definitely. You've got Lightning and Thunder featuring John Legend. Fantastic as well. So I really like this. This was one of the very first like trap and beat albums that I really got sucked into. Because we had this little bit the past about a year and a half where I was starting to try and get used to it a little bit. But some of it was very experimental. Some of it was so new that I wasn't getting used to it or other stuff. But this was one album I liked a lot.
Yeah.
BS is a... Holy shit, that's a good song.
Yeah, I think there are good songs on here. I did not like this album the first time I listened to it, but I liked it a lot more the second time.
It definitely... I wish it didn't start as slow, is my thing.
I just wish it didn't end a little bit slow. It starts slow and ends kind of slow, honestly.
Oh, for sure. Like, that's my one complaint is if she structured it a little bit differently, I think it could have been, from a top to bottom listen, even better. And it might have been able to get a lot... cut out a couple of different songs or make stuff a little bit shorter because it is definitely a long album. At 1 hour and 3 minutes for this, it's long. But it's good.
Yeah, it's long. I can definitely think of some places I would have made it shorter.
Yeah.
But the thing you were talking about in the beginning where there's a certain dichotomy in R&B albums, like R&B albums tend to be generally about love and like affection, and it tends to like, you can go a lot of directions in that. You can kind of go in the like, you can go in the blind love kind of direction of that, where it's like, I'm just in love and I love all these feelings. And like, I'll explore all these different aspects of love. And like, even though it's a really deep exploration of that feeling of love, it gets kind of one-dimensional because as we experience in a normal person coronavirus land, love is like complicated and multidimensional.
There's a lot of shit. Yes.
But I liked that this album works with the dichotomy of knowing oneself and knowing oneself's worth while also seeking love. Because I think like a lot of people unfortunately don't seek love knowing their own worth, and so they fall into relationships that they deserve better than, for example.
Exactly.
And this is an R&B album that goes against that.
They protrude their own...
Project
their own self-consciousness onto another person. So that way they get into a relationship that isn't healthy because they think they deserve an unhealthy relationship, but they deserve this, but they actually deserve better.
Yeah.
That's therapist Sean right there. Because you see it so often.
Yeah.
And it's sad, but that's...
No, it's for real.
It happens all the damn time. So.
I'm going to shout out the song China Smoke because it's not necessarily a love song. It's just like the name is the song. And I think it does a really good job of capturing what the album is trying to do sonically and lyrically.
Cause I can't live my life on a slow.
No, I can't live that way.
So I'm gonna call the world, tell them your loved one right now. I'm trying to smoke.
Trying to keep myself from looking over the edge. I know life's a bitch, but she could at least give me it. Sometimes, I mean, is that too much to ask? That's why lately I've been smoking on gas. I know God is good, I know he keep me alive.
So if you're gonna try
Stoner
one,
Dan,
yeah, check that out. Absolutely.
But this is good. This is, for my arbitrary scale, Formula One, the first three races being canceled.
No way.
Which fucking I hate. Like right now it's supposed to be a race in Australia, and they're like, nah, dude. That's right. Just not happening. Well, because they make sense for them, but it's really rough. They may start at Monaco in May, which is a disaster race to start at. Like, of all races to start your season, Monaco. Like, holy fuck, dude. That's horrible.
So, I mean, I thought the Australia races might be more interesting because maybe the fires affected it and made the lap more interesting.
That'd be hilarious. Unfortunately, it's the other side of Australia.
Unfortunately slash fortunately.
Australia's going to just burn up
steam. Yeah. And now for the retold you segment of Audio Face. Let me preface this. We have had an interesting relationship with DaBaby. We didn't review his album as it came out because we pointed out that like many trap artists that a bunch of people randomly fall in love with all of a sudden, they have huge passive domestic abuse issues.
Bad things.
And so we'll listen to it, we'll talk about it, we'll commentate it, but we don't want to do any kind of, like we just did with previous albums that we talked about and really enjoyed, promote it as a thing that should make people more money. Enter this week's news, where DaBaby allegedly assaulted a woman at a concert in Tampa, Florida. And then this is a concert Florida. He was performing at, and then he did not do that performance because of that police incident.
The audience booed him and he left the venue.
Yeah, a video was taken prior to the scheduled concert, captured by TMZ.
Oh, God. He's like, hold on.
Yeah, it's muted. He was making his way to the stage when he was seen striking the woman. The audience was spotted by booing the rapper. Fuck, man. Why? Let's get That's an open-handed slap, boy.
Damn.
Yeah, following the incident, reading from Consequence of Sound, DaBaby took to Instagram Live to share his side of the story, saying that he contends the woman provoked him, offering $10,000 for whoever got a good angle of Shorty hitting me in the eye with her phone. So DaBaby is saying this started by this woman hitting DaBaby in the face with a phone, and then DaBaby responded with an open-handed slap. He's also seeking the name of the woman so, quote, my lawyer can get active. Her lawyer's about to get hella active too, dog. So let's get ready for that. Law her up.
Is that maybe white? Like, he's going to go, my lawyer's going to contact you.
I'm going to tap the brakes right there. Earlier this year, let's take 10 to 20% off of this, Sean.
I want to toe the line for a second.
Earlier this year, DaBaby was arrested for battery after allegedly dousing a concert promoter with apple juice. Okay, so that one, I'm like...
That's funny.
This is just me.
Apple juice poured on you. He's like, I'm going to sue you.
Like this is... I use this as the gold standard, but the time Jimmy Dore spat on Alex Jones is like... it's technically battery, but like, let's look at degrees of severity here.
Apple juice, someone's saliva. Like,
yeah, not to defend my very good friend Jimmy Dore, but... It's always a little bit difficult when you're contextualizing these things. DaBaby has another more serious history of domestic abuse. Actually hitting like one of these things. So like again, bad. I touched DaBaby with a 10-foot pole. I don't necessarily like his music nor think it's groundbreaking enough to really talk about it. I always think it's always weird how these like. Figures who are like severe abusers all of a sudden become like the most popular and the most loved in the trap world. Yep. And they become heralded as like the most talented people when these people don't know shit about music and it's very clear.
So R. Kelly's trial has to be postponed until October
because there's way too much evidence.
Because the Fed seized over 100 cell phones and hard drives of all the evidence and shit of his...
Dude's fucked.
I don't even know what to call it. Just dude just needs to get the guillotine
cult
at this
shit.
Point.
Yeah, absolutely. I think R. Kelly's deserve the guillotine corner. The Associated Press says that federal agents have executed a search warrant to seize more than 100 electronic devices that Kelly had hidden away in a storage facility outside of Chicago. I love the idea of doing like storage wars, and it's like, okay, who wants all of R. Kelly's secret tapes?
Right.
Kelly's lawyers entered another not guilty plea following Thursday's arraignment, saying they expressed a lack of concern about the Fed's new evidence. Probably because they're just, like, beaten down.
Yeah.
Like, if I were R. Kelly's lawyers, I'd just be like, ugh. oh, there's this. Oh, no, there's this. Yo, dude, I'm just like, I would be burned out personally if I were one of R. Kelly's lawyers. It's like, why are you doing it?
I would just quit. I'd be like, I don't care how much money you're giving me.
We reported last year that R. Kelly's lawyers, some of them have quit. They're like, dude, I can't.
Dude's like, this is an unwinnable case. / Is it worth getting that much? So
yeah. And by evidence, I mean like really too much evidence, because apparently one of those pieces of footage includes R. Kelly's ex-girlfriend allegedly forcing his ex-girlfriend to eat human feces.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that one.
This is alleged. This is a federal court case that's been pushed back to October 13th. So if there is still a country to speak of, we will talk about that on Audio Face. So moving on from that, Kendrick Lamar and
Dave Fry,
the president of Top Dog Entertainment.
It's gonna fuck up the names real quick.
Arbeit macht Dave Fry. They launch a service creative company called PG Lang. And I love those. Christ. I live for those curveballs. Sean's gotten his bases covered. Anyways, they have launched a entity called PG Lang. I respect this for like the fact that they actively try to make sure they can't be
PG Lang,
they can't be qualified in anything. The very Syndicate 23 vibe kind of thing.
I like this because it's a thing to, you want to make shit, here's a platform to make shit.
I don't want to say that this is a platform or a service.
Whatever.
And a lot of the reason they're saying this is because like, we want to make something that lasts for a while, mm-hmm. that isn't necessarily stuck to the business models of today.
Exactly.
Because the business models of the future might change.
Exactly.
A press release describes PG Lang as, quote, a new multilingual at-service company, not a record label or movie studio or publishing house. It's something new.
Basically, it seems like a what people were trying to do. If you have like a place that you just do art at, so like example, there's a couple places around us that they just have it, and
it's an art
studio type thing where you just, it doesn't have to be one specific thing. It's just where people can come and present their stuff. But this is a medium way to do it, which I like, because it seems like there won't be like contracts and other shit that we have, and all the issues we've been having with record labels and stuff in the past, since record labels have been made.
And the numerous issues we've had with content.
And then movie studios, execs, all the shit that's going on, Harvey Weinstein.
Let me walk another tightrope here.
Okay.
It'll be interesting to see how this company is able to experiment with different types of management structures, because it could be argued that you could have a company that is organized via a worker cooperative kind of setting or a unionized kind of setting. But ultimately, the names are less important than what it actually does, which is giving the creators, the people actually making the music, editing the videos, editing all that, as much control as possible over the business aspects to their product, because they are creating this thing that is consumed and seen by the public. So they want to make sure that it is actually like consumed properly, and they get as much as they can from that worth. So this is just, it's a little pin we'll put in. We'll revisit it's worthy.
The first product, better than title, that's all I know.
Not a hard bar to cross. The first creative partner with PG Lang is Baby Keem, who contributed to the Black Panther soundtrack.
Yes.
And they're working on a music video / visual mission statement, because that's the world we're in, featuring Yara Shahidi from Blackish, Georgia Smith, who's we talked about, we fucking love, and Kendrick Lamar. Free wrote and directed the video, and executive produced it along with Kendrick Lamar. And then Keem's new track, Jump 2, plays throughout the piece. So, you know, it's a multi... That's a lateral collaborative project. Yeah. It should be interesting.
We will definitely give you updates on how that shit goes.
Yes, tyt.com/updates.
Regress Gumpache. Moving on to our third album, Niall Horan.
Thank you for pronouncing that.
Heartbreak Weather. One of pop artists that we do pop. We do popular artists on this podcast.
Yeah.
We do pop.
a One Directioner. This
is,
right?
Yes, the One Directioner who can fucking make music. Thank you, Niall. Because we did Liam Payne last year and I wanted to gouge my eyes out. That was the pain station where I literally, like, I think it'd be easier for me to listen to this with screwdrivers in my ears connected to lightning bolts. But no, Niall, I've liked his music before. A lot of his stuff is usually more acoustic, more reliant on his voice, which he has a fantastic voice, so you can do that.
And it's been more folksy in the past.
Yeah, a little bit. He's not your traditional pop or like your Ariana Grande, stuff like that.
Traditional.
Like, I should say, like, the musicality of it, if it makes sense.
Again, not as. Yeah. I would still say this is very poppy, and at times annoyingly poppy, but we'll continue.
It will continue. Anyways, I like the first two tracks a lot. Actually, first three tracks a lot. Heartbreak Weather, the title track, it sounds like if you mixed the 1975 A Choice Event. Fair. Opening track.
Absolutely.
Because
yeah,
like,
I got a lot
it sounded like It's Not Living If It's Not With You, that style, that 80s groove funk guitar stuff, but with the pop production of Choice Ivan. So two artists that I genuinely like a lot, actually, a song. I'm like, this is kind
of
cool.
It creates a soundscape of like music. Like I've described this before, the sound almost like hugs your ears because it encompasses all of the available sound that can possibly be there.
Yeah. And that's a good opening track for it because I go, okay, this gives me hope. Let me see what happens. Black and White, it's a good song. It's also like the whole theme of this album, another album based on love, based on a storytelling from top to bottom of a story of somebody, of different relationships, meeting people, whatever, like all of the ups and downs of a relationship. Black and White, fantastic. I really like the production of it. Dear Patience, I like that one a lot too. Bend the Rules is okay. Small Talk is a fucking banger. That's probably my favorite song
Small
on
Talk
this album.
Is a decent song.
It's
but
fun. I really like it.
The reason I didn't like it specifically is because I knew what it was trying to do.
Exactly what it's going to do. We know what it's trying to do.
I knew that this was going to be like, okay, I'm pop dude from the boy band who's decided to go solo, so I'm going to make that one song that's still kind of boy bandy, but it's about love and getting down and getting down.
But he's made a lot of stuff before, so he's had his solo career for a minute.
I know he has had his career for a little bit, but I guess like my criticism that is like eking out into this, it's fun because I get to play the devil's advocate like you were during Willow's Secret.
Exactly.
It's like, I see that he's trying to be like the pop artist that like ticks the boxes on a pop album as a hit.
It is 100% that.
Because I saw that, I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna fall for your bullshit. I did actually like the song next to that, the one right after it, Nice to Meet You.
Nice to Meet You is good too.
I felt it was not as shameless as Small Talk and trying to be like an obvious love song, but also had a lot of like instrumental uniqueness to it that allowed me to like and go, okay, you're not just another One Directioner. It at least got me past that bar in the album. Nice to meet you.
Every time I turn around, you disappear.
For me, because you know me, I'm the anti-pop guy. Like, I fucking hate pop because it's really boring. You can predict most of it. Small Talk, you could definitely predict it, but I think it was the production of it. It didn't feel corny. Because I think that's my problem with most pop work is it's corny. Like Troye Sivan, the reason why I like him because his stuff, it feels real. And then Niall's stuff, I'm like, okay, this is an album, like a pop album I haven't heard in a while that I genuinely like because it feels like the emotion doesn't
real
seem...
Real as opposed to manufactured.
Yeah, not like that super manufactured pop that you hear in a lot of pop artists. But
that's
I think there's now where even big artists like this, they're starting to get the gist of it. Like we need to push the boundary, push it a little bit more. Still make it because obviously people love this genre. It's going to be here to stay. That's why, you know, sellouts arenas and other shit, because you got Taylor Swift who does the same, but she's starting to even do a little bit better with her music, like with her last release. The people are, they're...
Starting to realize that standard pop doesn't cut it.
Exactly, because like that was my whole thing with Ariana Grande, even though I have a leash that I will always stay on this audio, on this podcast about, but like her stuff felt so manufactured when she released the album that we, and we critiqued that. But now I think the past about year, people are getting more onto it and stuff of, we need to change it. Billie Eilish was the one that just like kicked down the doors and said, look at this shit. It's weird. I don't even seen half the time, but people like it. So now more pop artists are doing that. And Niall's one of those where if this is what standard pop it is going to sound like moving on, I'm actually for it. I'm like, because it's not, it's there's stuff that obviously you're going to have issues with pop music in general, but it's one of those where I can listen to this and very much enjoy it. There are a couple songs in here that I genuinely like a lot. Small Talk's definitely my favorite.
Yeah, I would 100%
love. Still's also good. The last, there's only one song I didn't like on here. Fuck. Which one was it? I think it was Cross Your Mind or Everywhere. I gotta double check.
Oh yeah, I was hoping it wasn't New Angel because that was one of the few I actually did like.
No, New Angel's good. The last four songs, New Angel, No Judgment, San Francisco, and Still, I liked. But there's one song around there that I was like, oh crap, here we go. This is the overgeneralized pop song that, but there was only one that stuck out on the album like that. The rest were unique enough to where I can listen to it and genuinely enjoy it, which is saying something.
Yeah. If you were saying earlier, and Heartbreak Weather by Niall Horan is like the gold standard for what pop is, if I can go back and say, you know, the thing I hate about Niall Horan's album is that it sounds too generic, it's too poppy, then that will be a good thing to say about pop music, because this is definitely not generic pop music.
But which is good. But there's still, that's the problem.
There's a lot of room for like experimentation and improvement.
Oh, there is. Because we've been, again, like I said with Trap, we got spoiled by 21. With pop, we've been spoiled by so much music last year.
We've been spoiled by Billie Eilish. Not just Billie Eilish, but like the people who like kind of dipped into pop music for their like ideals. Like I'm going to maybe take a jump and say like Little Dragon is doing this.
Little Dragon, yeah.
Yeah.
Troye Sivan. You could go with a bunch of different, Charlie XCX.
Yes.
Exactly. There's artists that now are huge and they're pushing the boundaries. So we've been spoiled. But I think those people are making it so much harder to make that general pop to where now everybody's being pushed forward.
Right, so general pop doesn't quite do it anymore.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. And this is, to me, the very first sign that people are, that artists are listening to the times and actually making good music, even if it's not your cup of tea. I mean, for the pop genre.
Absolutely.
Because then you have people who make god fucking awful music, and we love talking about that shit, because then that's when we got No Chill Islands, that's when we get bleeped. So anyways...
We haven't done a No Chill Island in a minute for the sake of my career, but
for the sake of our careers, but...
We have it in mind. We haven't done one in a minute.
I know what an album that will definitely make me say things. But anyways, because we have... The Weeknd will be coming out with an album pretty soon, so that'll be another
one of... Our favorite
fuckboy, The Weeknd. A super fuckboy, but his two singles that he put out were fantastic, because I was saying, people are actually pushing the envelope now. I'm like... People listen to Audioface.
I encourage it.
So anyways, with our arbitrary scale, this is NHL season being canceled or postponed right before playoffs. Like you got a month, then you got playoffs.
No, you want to know what this is? This is who's the player on the Penguins who was injured?
So Jake Gensel got injured, right? Like he's got a separated shoulder. He hasn't been able to play for 4 months, but he's slated to play back in April. So, because of the coronavirus, it's actually going to help the Penguins, because if the season gets postponed and he's back by the time we still have regular season games left, then we're going to be even stronger, which is hilarious.
Which is why I want to compare that to this album, which is because of things that are completely out of Niall Horan's control, this might actually end up being like a good album contemporarily to whatever else we're comparing to pop.
It really, yeah. But also the Penguins are going really hard because they are paying all of their workers that aren't being able to work at the PPG Paints Arena.
No. Shout out to all the people in sports, whether it's individual team organizations or individual players.
Like, yeah, some players are like, I know Sergey.
Zion in the NBA.
Zion NBA.
At the Pelicans. He's like decided to pay off all the people who do mm-hmm. concessions at the Pelicans arena they play at New Orleans. Great job.
Sergey Bobrovsky, the goalie for Florida, who I think is a very overrated goalie, but he's a chill human. He donated like $100,000.
He stacks paper.
He signed a fat fucking contract. I think Florida is regretting it. But he's giving money to all of the people who work at the Florida arena, which is hilarious because I have like 3 fans. But anyways, that was that. And now we're going to have some more stories.
This is quick hits.
Quick hits.
Okay, so we, of course, this is what people come back to Audioface for every single week, even when we do slightly long episodes like this, is when Chuck D and Flavor Flav have a kind of readdressed their thing. So if you're just joining us here on Audio Face Investigates, Public Enemy, which Public is Enemies. A group of Chuck D, Flavor Flav, a couple of others, were about to perform a Get Out to Vote concert mm-hmm. show at RIP Bernie Sanders, his political event in California. And there was an issue because Flavor Flav issued a cease and desist warning against Chuck D and the rest of Public Enemy, saying, hey, if you're not performing as Public Enemy with Flavor Flav, it's not really Public Enemy.
But then Chuck D has all the publishing rights of Public Enemy, has the rights to the name, and if he's like, I lowered you, like I have the name, you can't do shit because I got it, bitch, pretty much.
Shooting a couple of his own shots as well, saying Chuck D chooses to dance for his money. And but Flavor Flav was
pump breaks. Oh no,
shucking and jiving, if you will. Oh, on Sunday, Flavor Flav responded in kind, saying that Chuck and I were blessed to build something that wasn't a dictatorship. It was a movement based on the way we lived in our neighborhood and what we faced in our community. Mm-hmm. I'm a little worried about my partner Chuck. I hope he is okay and the Public Enemy can get back to doing the good works we've done over the past 30 years. Not for money, but for people like me who have been denied their rights to participate because of bullshit policies.
Mm.
Within hours, Flavor Flav was out of Public Enemy. Public Enemy and Public Enemy Radio will be moving forward without Flavor Flav. Yep. They're releasing a statement. We thank him for his years of service and we wish him well.
I love it. Thank you for your years of service. It's like he was a communist. It's like he was in the Soviet Union and like we're leaving him of his post.
Chuck D also emphasized that, reading from Consequence of Sound, mm-hmm. Alex Young put together this article, Chuck D emphasized that Flavor Flav was not fired solely due to the dispute over the Sanders rally. It also had to do with when Flavor Flav failed to support Harry Belafonte's criminal justice organization, Sankofa, after Belafonte inducted Public Enemy into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So it's like a number of layers going lot. There, but basically he felt that in addition to a number of other things that were going on, Flavor Flav wasn't showing up for some of Public Enemy's causes, the same causes that Public Enemy was saying that he hoped that they wished they would return back to, based off of this kind of business relationship of running off of the neighborhood, going back to their roots, that kind of thing. Through his lawyer, Flavor Flav has addressed the dismissal, saying that Flav reached out in the interest of unity, supporting Chuck's right to speak his mind, but without unnecessarily misleading the public. Unfortunately, for the time being, Chuck has opted to fire off an increasingly unhinged series of tweets, which is always how it starts, including one where Chuck regards Flav as property, a car, he can park until he is ready to use again. Now Chuck has opted to break up Public Enemy and fracture the movement without more than 3 decades in the making to, quote, move forward with Public Enemy Radio. Chuck may own the name, but all you had to do was look at the masses of clock-wearing fans pouring out of the rally when Public Enemy Radio started to play, knowing there was no Public Enemy without Flavor Flav. Here's an update. Chuck D, Flavor Flav responded again, adding Chuck D saying, are you kidding me right now? Over Bernie Sanders? You want to destroy something we built over 35 years over politics, all because I don't want to endorse a candidate? I'm very disappointed in you and your decisions right now, Chuck.
Basically, it's just... It's a back and forth. It's hilarious. It's getting dirty now.
A lot of unnecessary feelings.
Super unnecessary. Or just like, all right, like tell me how you really feel.
If this was only as small as hey, I don't want to endorse a political candidate, you can easily make that kind of nuance and express that. But now we're like, you're about to blow up the entire group. And it's clearly not over Bernie Sanders.
No, there's a lot of bad blood boiling over the past 35 years they've been a band, so...
Well, which happens. It's fucking...
It's a relationship.
We don't talk about inside baseball, but it's like, it's hard to keep a band together for a long period of time.
This was very, very hard to do that. And that's why some of the best bands have been together for so long, because they and but they work well when they work together, but they know how to do their own separate things. So
like, I'm not sure if Radiohead would stay together if they were together all the time. No, but they know to take breaks.
Yeah, and they do, and I think that's why they've been together for so long. So, but anyways,
yeah.
We're going on a little random tangent, but so Meg Thee Stallion, she's going to release a new album called.
She released this already.
Fourth. She released Sugar. But anyways, there's a lot of things going on with that release.
Mainly it comes after a legal dispute.
Yet again, with her former record label.
Yeah, correct? 1501 Entertainment. Megan Thee Stallion said that, among other things, the old classic, 1501 was preventing her from releasing the music that she wanted to.
Yield Taylor Swift, I can't perform my new music, getting held hostage against my will.
Yield Frank Ocean.
No, the best one, though, Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne takes the pop.
That's a legendary.
I've been waiting to release this for 7 years. It's been years. Because my record label says I can't, and then my contract expires in 7 years, so I'm just gonna wait.
Yeah. So
that's the long game.
Yeah, this is happening a lot with artists.
And this
1501 CEO said that nothing is true with what she said. Me being greedy and taking money from her, that's crazy. I never tried to take anything from her. Imagine your boss saying, I never tried to take any money from you. I'm not trying to extract the wealth that you make in excess so that I as a capitalist can profit. No, that would never fucking happen. Bullshit. I need to stop right now before I get actually upset. But basically,
Drake upset. That line, that me being greedy and taking money for that entire thing needs to be given a reward.
That's the Gilded Guillotine.
That's definitely nominated for the Gilded Guillotine, because that is horrible.
That's literally what record labels do. That's your fucking job. Megan Thee Stallion ended up releasing an album. It's more of like a drop. It's about 25 minutes long.
Yeah, it's short. And like songs. So it has Kalani and some others on it. We'll talk about it when we get to it. Yeah, but that's just one of those another record label doing things. But we like to end Audioface
on a fun note.
The best fun note.
And there's a show called The Masked Singer that's going around, and there's a masked singer, and eventually that singer gets revealed. I believe at one point one of the contestants was like a robot in a robot costume. Yep. It ended up being recently mentioned Lil Wayne, and so. There's a lot of surprises on the show that maybe you can watch while you're quarantined, but it turned out that the person who was rapping Sir Mix-a-Lot's Baby Got Back. Was none other than Harbinger of the Apocalypse, former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin.
Oh, man.
I mean, oh my god.
She hasn't aged one bit. She hasn't changed the same since 2008.
Don't ya know that like fake ass Midwest accent from Alaska.
Exactly. Like the fake ass, like you're from Minnesota, like going to hockey tournaments for your kids, but you live in Alaska, fake ass voice. Right?
During the credits, Sarah Palin joked, quote, "This is the weirdest thing I've ever done. That's for sure. This is the woman who ran with John McCain against Barack Obama, by the way. So that's let's talk about that. It's all about fun. It's unity. This is all good. This is something our country needs right now too. So I didn't know our hero of the United States would end up being Sarah Palin, but here the fuck we are, ladies and gentlemen, in the roaring 20s. Here the fuck we are.
Okay, boomer. This has been Audioface.
This has been Audioface, a reference podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. Thank you very much for listening to this podcast. Thank you very much for listening to the bonus episodes that we release where we talk about music more generally. We dig a little bit deeper than we do in normal episodes. Thank you very much. Continue rating the podcast well and highly if you like those sort of things, or just give us feedback via Twitter or Instagram if you don't, or if you do. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at AudioFacePod. You can follow Sean individually on Twitter and Instagram at SW Suarez. You can find me on Twitter at Dan from the Web and on Instagram at Dan from the Internet. Like I said, the whole show can be found at AudioFacePod, and also don't forget to check out our entirely different series of podcasts, the political reports that we do with seasoned bands from We Made It Podcast. Check out We Made It Podcast as well for all your soccer things. It turns out a lot of privileged people, gotta be minded, are gonna be self-isolating for a little while, so you might need a little bit more content to do. Nothing's better than doing some chores you've been meaning to push off for a little while listening to some podcasts that you like, so we recommend We Made It Podcast for soccer news. We recommend Audioface for music news. We recommend the political report for that stuff. thank you very much for listening. As we said, we have a really busy music week coming on, or music month coming on.
Yes, we have a lot.
So make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss a single thing every Monday. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you next week. Cheers.
Bye.
I'm just saying, wash your hands, fam, before you put your nasty thumbs in the underpants, fam. You like the way she shake her back area? It's like a sex machine to make bacteria. Now that's a real funny business. Mad, raw, filthy fingers sticking dirty money in it. Shit, before I get to stabbing it, at least know our habits and what's in the medicine cabinet. Villain bring his own mug to the bar and wore gloves till he going back to the car. Hey, don't get cracked in the jaw. We try to bring an end to the black on black war. The real enemy is microscopic. There go the Trojan horse, you talking about, drop it. All them top models wanna come over here, chill and pop bottles. Fine, I take mine to the dome. You could get your own and take your funky ass home.
All these people out here are saying, oh boy, rosin up your gun, get your bullets out. You know, well, yeah. My suggestion is to, yes, be ready, but also relax. Be calm, cool, and collected, and slow to pull the trigger. Unless somebody acts unfriendly towards you, I wouldn't necessarily take any aggressive action toward them. Wait and see.
Get your gun!
I got my gun. We're extraordinarily frustrated by freakazoids, such as whomever was dancing, put him on the battlefield. Not necessarily in danger, but getting close enough so that it, you know.
And they called them Muppets, which is a British term that means a stupid, ignorant person.